Hey, beautiful soul. Welcome to Spirit Speakeasy. I'm Joy Giovanni, Joyful Medium. I'm a working psychic medium, energy healer, and spiritual gifts mentor. This podcast is like a seat at the table in a secret club, but with mediums, mystics, and the spiritual luminaries of our time. So come behind the velvet ropes with me and see inside my world as I chat insider style with profoundly gifted souls. We go deep, share juicy stories, laugh a lot, and it wouldn't be a speakeasy without great insider secrets and tips. You might even learn that you have some gifts of your own. So step inside the Spirit Speakeasy. Hey, beautiful soul, welcome in for another episode of Spirit Speakeasy. On this week's episode of Spirit Speakeasy, we are going to dive into the mystery of your aura and reveal all. By the end of this episode, you'll have the answers to these questions and so much more. What is your aura? What does your aura do? How are scientific advancements starting to prove the existence of the auric field? What type of information does your aura hold or contain? What's your aura perceived as? Like, how is it perceived? Is it possible you've already felt your own aura and didn't even know it? What color is your aura? Do you need to protect your aura? Do you need to clear or clean your aura? And if so, how? What are a few simple yet powerful ways to start playing with and sensing your own aura? So without any wait, let's just dive right in. I first want to share the dictionary.com definition of aura, just so we can have an understanding of what the general public's defining it as. And then I'm going to give you my definition and we'll start really breaking everything down, peeling everything back. So dictionary.com defines aura as a distinctive and pervasive quality or character, air, atmosphere. Another definition is it gives a subtly pervasive quality or atmosphere seen as emanating from a person, place, or thing. And as a pathology, it says a sensation as of lights or a current of warm or cold air preceding an attack or migraine or epilepsy. So when they talk about people who have migraines that get an aura, that word is used there too. These definitions don't really exactly fit for how I understand the auric field. I'm going to loosely define aura for us as the living, changing, ever in motion, quote unquote, unseen energy field around your body that is the emission of the soul. It exists both in the physical and non-physical. It's also known as the human energy field. How most people have already felt or experienced their aura, whether you consider yourself a highly sensitive person or a spiritual person or not at all, most people already recognize their auric field as their personal space bubble. And we're going to dive more into that a little bit later in our conversation. But I just want to explain that the idea of aura is technically under this umbrella of all things metaphysical. So I wanted to dive a little bit into what metaphysical is. And when we work with the aura, it's part of a mystical experience. So we're also going to define that just to have some working definitions. I don't want to throw all these terms out there that, you know, we're not defining, because then I think it just leads to more confusion. So Aristotle is considered the father of metaphysics. So what is metaphysics? Study.com. I'm going to read this quote from that website, and I'll link anything I'm citing. I'm going to link it in the show notes for you in case you want to dive a little further in. Metaphysics is the study of reality and existence, who we are, and what our purpose is. Metaphysics definition comes from works of Aristotle gathered after the philosopher's death. Interesting. Coming after works about nature, which is physics, they were titled metaphysics, quote unquote, after physics. Thus, the name is a misnomer. Aristotle never used it. However, Aristotle's topics provide the beginning questions for metaphysics and ask, what is being? What are the first causes of things? What are the things that do not change? So that quote is from, I said, study.com. The word meta actually comes from the Greek and means after. So that's why they're saying it's a misnomer, because, you know, if they're talking about physics, the things of nature, the natural laws, gravity, the laws of physics, for example, metaphysics means what are we studying after the physical, right? After things of nature. So it's not exactly what it means, but I just think it's interesting. Like I always say, for as long as you guys know me, you'll hear me complain about the language and how it's not quite right and doesn't quite fit. So that is technically how metaphysics is defined. Today, we use the term metaphysics as an umbrella that really includes everything from like yoga and meditation to alternative healthcare to mediumship, to psychic phenomena, and so much more. So there's so much being just tossed under that umbrella of metaphysics. It's why you often see auras talked about when we're talking about chakras or healing or the human energy field, like I said, all technically considered metaphysics under the field of study of metaphysics. So while auras technically fall under the umbrella of metaphysical, it's experiencing them, healing with them or working with them is technically part of a mystical experience. So what's a mystical experience? I'm going to give you the definition and then we're going to talk a little bit more about it. The word mystical, according to dictionary.com, is defined as having a spiritual meaning or reality that is neither apparent to the senses nor obvious to the intelligence. They give it an example, the mystical food of the sacrament. A second definition that it gives is involving or having the nature of an individual's direct subjective communion with God or ultimate reality, the mystical experience of the inner light. That's kind of closer to what I'm talking about. So essentially, a mystical experience is a psychic experience or a spiritual experience that does tap into or work with also the non-physical. I really prefer the definition blended of these two. So having a spiritual meaning or reality that may or may not be apparent to the five physical senses or our natural logic and intelligence, and having the nature of communion with higher power, God, soul, or inner light, right? So it's an experience that can't always be defined or understood by our five senses. And they're fleeting. So in that moment, that's what we're experiencing, but it's not necessarily something that can be measured. So now that we have those base definitions, let's talk more about the aura in the way I understand it. It really is the emanation of the soul as well as the chakra system. And science is now actually starting to prove that even organs produce an electromagnetic field that contributes to each person's aura. We'll talk a little bit more about the chakra system as we go, but essentially, let me give you a quick definition. The chakra system is commonly used in metaphysics, in energy healing, and we are really, for our purposes today, talking about the seven main chakras. Often if you've been to like a yoga class or an acupuncturist, you've probably seen them on the outline of a body, those seven lights, starting with a purple light near the head and then over the forehead, or sometimes called the third eye. There's like an indigo colored light over the throat. There's a light blue or sky blue light over the heart. There's a green light, and then going down, yellow light, orange light, red light. So they're basically energetic wheels or balls that correlate to different systems, different times in our life, different emotions, and help our energy system process. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, so if the aura is the emanation of our soul, we talk here a lot about how we are a soul having a physical experience, meaning we are a soul that has come into a body in this time. After our body, our physical body can no longer sustain, our soul returns back to non-physical. It doesn't disappear. It just returns back to non-physical. So the part of our soul that lives in us as us is, you know, mixed in with our personality, but not entirely our personality. We have separate components to us. The soul is so much greater or larger than just what can be expressed through this physical body. but it's also emanating from our physical body, creating an energy field. And like I was saying, science is now starting to be able to measure or prove that even the organs have an electromagnetic field, and that also contributes to our aura. So this electromagnetic field of the organs was first demonstrated in 1863, believe it or not, and has been being studied since, probably since then, but documented in a stronger way since the 1970s. According to heartmath.org, which they're one of the leading organizations for heart research and understanding, you know, all things heart. So according to heartmath.org, I'm going to read a quote. It's a little long, but it's really powerful. "The heart is the most powerful source of electromagnetic energy in the body, producing the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field of any of the body's organs. The heart's electrical field is about 60 times greater in amplitude than the electrical activity generated by the brain." So brain activity, how we talk about that, the heart's field is 60 times greater amplified than the brain activity. "This field, measured in the form of an electrocardiogram, EKG or ECG, can be detected anywhere on the surface of the body. Furthermore, the magnetic field produced by the heart is more than 100 times greater in strength than the field generated by the brain, and can be detected from up to 3 feet away from the body in all directions." So essentially, what this is saying is that your heart is producing an energy field that radiates out from you 3 feet in any direction, front, back, side to side. So you can see why I'm saying if your aura is very commonly known as your personal space bubble, and your heart is emanating an electromagnetic field 3 feet in all directions, you see why I'm saying it's part of your auric field. And I think it's amazing that science is starting to talk about this. I don't know how long it's going to be before it catches up with what, you know, sages and metaphysicians have known for many, many years, and what a lot of us practice in energy medicine. Not only do these auras exist, but they communicate with one another. So on this same article or section of the website from heartmath.org, and again, I'll link it in the show notes. If you want to dive into this, this website's amazing. They go on to say, "Thus, information about a person's emotional state is encoded in the heart's magnetic field and is communicated throughout the body and into the external environment." So what is that saying? It's saying that emotions, information is radiating out 3 feet on all sides of you through your body and also into your external environment. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So let's break down the auric field even further so you can understand more deeply what it does and what types of information it contains. The reason why I brought the heart into it is because I think it's so powerful. You know, that just happens to be what science is willing to measure. And wonderful things are coming from it that they are. And they're understanding, you know, the organs more and the systems and all that. And all that's obviously incredibly valuable. And yes, to all of that, we want that. But that then leads me to believe and understand, based on what I know from energy work and from the work that I do as a medium, that if they're able to measure that electromagnetic field coming from the heart, it must therefore in some degree be coming from other organs. Plus we have the chakra system. Plus we are the soul's emanation, right? The soul is emanating through us. And if the heart alone is producing a 3 foot radius around us of information, well, imagine what your soul is producing around you. So let's dive into the aura a little bit more. Remember, I'm gonna go over this next section, but I want to put a few like caveats here. So remember, these are all part of the subtle energies. Chakras are part of subtle energies. Auric field is part of subtle energies. I would go further to even say that this electromagnetic field from the heart is part of the subtle energy. It just means we can't necessarily perceive them or fully understand them with just our five senses alone. The subtle energies are also perceived by the intuition, the psychic senses, those additional group of sixth senses that we often talk about here. I also want to mention that the way I'm about to go through these is definitely an oversimplification. I mean, I feel like I could teach a 6-month course on this to really go all the way to the depth. And I've been learning about this over the last like 15 years of my work with this. So there really is much, much more. I'm going to really try to simplify it for our purposes today, but it doesn't mean I'm not going deep into it. I'm going to talk about it as the 7 layers of the auric field because it's commonly accepted throughout many healing practices that there are 7 layers to the auric field. But I want to just say there are likely many more layers than 7. I just think this is the way we talk about it. 7 chakras, 7 layers of auric field. So there are likely many, many more than 7 layers. These are just at least the 7 layers of your auric field, sometimes they're called layers. Some people call them bodies, quote unquote bodies. Some people call them planes, as in planes of existence. So we will call these for our purposes the 7 main layers of your auric field. So that really just means that this personal space bubble that you have around you all the time, this emanation of your chakras, your organs, your soul, is basically these 7 layers, like a layer cake, so to speak. And again, oversimplification, just throwing that out there. So the first layer is called the etheric or physical plane or layer, and it represents our physical health. It can also include information about our day-to-day lives. Our past can be included in here too. So past traumas, past good experiences. It doesn't have to only be traumas, but that is the first layer. Second layer of these 7 main layers of the auric field is called the emotional layer or emotional plane or emotional body, you might sometimes hear it called. It really holds in it your current emotional state, challenges in the emotions, worry, happiness, things you're currently experiencing, emotions you've previously experienced are also here. The third layer is called the mental plane or mental body, mental layer. This encompasses things like logic and reasoning and thoughts. So things of the mind, right? Sometimes your ideas. The next layer is called the astral layer or astral body or astral plane of the auric field. This layer is where we start to tip into spirituality, love, like capital L love, dream travel. So if you've ever heard of astral travel, we're talking about the astral segment of your auric field, the astral body. Non-physical, and this fourth layer is often thought of as the bridge between the physical and the non-physical energy, much like if you know anything about the chakras, which we can dive into in a separate episode maybe, or I can even I used to teach a 10-week course on the chakras. Maybe I'll start that again. There's so much information. But this fourth layer, if you think about the heart chakra, is considered the bridge between the upper and lower chakras. This fourth layer of the auric field, the astral layer, is considered that bridge between physical and non-physical. Because if you've ever heard of, you know, dream traveling or astral traveling, that is going from physical to non-physical. The fifth layer is called the, this one also some people call the etherical body plane layer. This has to do with communication with the soul self. This is where we start to see psychic and spiritual gifts, intuition, but largely the communication aspect of it. The sixth layer is called the celestial body or celestial layer or celestial plane of the aura. And this layer really encompasses or houses creativity, connection to guides, angels, processing of dreams, some interpreting of information that comes in a more non-physical way. The next and final layer that we're going to talk about is called the casual or spiritual plane. This is that seventh layer or plane or body of the auric field. This really has to do with greater connection to all that is, greater connection to the unseen world, to the other side. because it's often correlated with that seventh chakra, it's that higher wisdom, right? Higher life force. And I went through these really quickly because unless you're going to study working with the auric field in like a healing capacity or as a reader, right? If you want to do psychic readings or aura readings, for example, it's not really necessary to know what each independent layer represents. And the truth is, these layers are not as separate as they sound or as people have tried to categorize them. They really have very blurry lines or edges, for example, where it's not quite delineated in that way. I think it just helps people to be able to categorize them to know, okay, so your auric field is really sharing and receiving information about everything from your physical body, physical world, day-to-day life, through the emotions, all of your mental capacity, challenges, strengths, the core qualities of your soul, who you are, that greater love, including dreams and non-physical and astral travel or astral plane, including love in like a greater sense, right? Like love for self, love for other, but also love from a greater source, also encompassing communication with your soul self, with yourself, with the world, with your guides, with your angels, with your loved ones on the other side, with the other side in general, with your higher calling. I believe that the blueprint of your soul, right? The plan for your life really is contained within your soul. So there will be information about that in the auric field as well. And some of it is because of the core qualities of who you're expressing as in this lifetime will lend itself more naturally to certain things in the world more so than others. So there is so much information in the aura. It's why I really wanted to talk about it because I think it's often largely dismissed and really it's everything. So again, the lines are blurry. The layers are not quite like a layer cake where they are so distinct, right? Some other things to remember or consider is that sensing the aura, like I said, is a mystical experience. Your aura is always moving and changing and expanding and contracting. It's almost like water, moving water, in that it's never going to be exactly the same in two moments. It's a living, moving extension of us that emanates through us into the unseen world all around us. I know that might sound a little out there depending on, I don't know, how long you've hung out here with me or what your own experience is. But like we often say, there are light waves and sound waves and Wi-Fi waves all around us all the time that we don't question at all. So if science is proving that our heart has this electromagnetic field, how much of a stretch is it really to think that, okay, there are probably other energy fields around us emitting from us as well? Okay, so some things to remember, like I said, always moving, always changing, contracting, expanding. It also, your aura goes out before you. So it's ahead of your physical body, meaning it's like this energetic bubble that you roll around in all the time that you move in the world through. Remember, we talked about personal space bubble. So it's out ahead of you. It's behind you. It's on either side of you. So it's moving into a space a little, just a little bit ahead of you. It's always discerning and sensing and gleaning information. It's processing information, your auric field, and your auric field contains and shares your information. So I know we talk about intuition a lot, and the auric field is so deeply connected to our intuition. We often think of intuition as living somewhere in the body. And yes, we do feel and experience intuition as like that gut feeling or that inner knowing. But it is through the auric field, through your soul, the emanation of your soul, that you are starting to receive, interpret, like pick up little bits of information as you move. So when you intuitively are feeling like, oh, you know what? I just walked into this space and it feels heavy in here. It feels like maybe somebody had an argument. That's your auric field giving information to you that you then feel as sensation or knowing or intuition. It's the same as like if you ever been in a meeting and you're like, oh, there's, I feel great energy in this meeting, or, you know, I feel like they're saying that here's the plan for the next quarter of our company, but I just feel like something's off, or they're not telling us something. There's information missing here. That's your aura blending with their aura and discerning, understanding, receiving information. It might not be able to be boiled down to concrete facts in your mind in that moment, but it's the essence of it that you're perceiving as, you know what, something's incongruent here. They're saying this, but something feels a little off about this. So your intuition is completely connected to your aura. And I think we think about things as so separate, but they're not. I mean, things are so intrinsically connected. Now, I want to go back quickly, as promised, to touch into the idea of personal space bubble. It's how you probably have already experienced your own auric field and maybe didn't even know it. Have you ever been in a line at a grocery store and someone, you don't see them, but you just feel someone standing too close to you? It's because they're in your aura. Have you ever like changed moods because you've been around someone? Like you, maybe you didn't even talk to them, but you just sat in a room with someone and all of a sudden your mood started changing. You're kind of matching their energy unconsciously and often unintentionally. It's because your aura is perceiving information about another person in the room, about the room itself. So I really like the example of like someone directly next to you, because I think that's the way, for me anyway, that was the first aha of like, oh my gosh, I do know what that is. I have actually felt that. Or if someone's, you know, it's interesting, like if we go into a waiting room and there's 10 open chairs, right? We tend to not sit directly next to someone just naturally. We won't like go over in an empty room and sit right in the chair next to a person. We give space. And a lot of it is because we're more comfortable having our bubble on its own a lot of the time. So ourself inside our bubble, a little bit separate from someone else in the room. Now your auric field is still blending into that room, blending a little bit lightly into that other person's aura, sensing them, being aware of them, understanding the safety of the situation, any other information that your, you know, soul wants to determine from that information. We couldn't possibly become aware of all of it on a conscious level. Hey, beautiful soul, I want to hear from you. Give me a call on my new Spirit Speakeasy hotline and tell me the story of your sign or communication that you received from your own loved one in the spirit world, and you might even be featured on an upcoming episode of Spirit Speakeasy. Call me now, area code 305-928-LOVE. That's 305-928-5683. 305-928-LOVE. I hope to hear from you soon. Our brain would explode. It's too much information at any given moment. But that's really how your personal space bubble ties into this. Now, some other things that I want to talk about here with this is it really, you know, goes into this idea of why you sometimes feel like you, the way people often describe it to me is they feel like they're taking on someone else's energy, meaning like, you know, they've been in a space all day at their job and there are people who are maybe a little grumpy or maybe just not an energetic match for them and they feel drained when they leave that place, or they feel like they're taking on other people's energy. Your auric field is why you feel drained or energized after peopling, that's the way I say it, after spending time with people. The way I explain it to, I'll touch on this lightly and we'll talk more about it a little bit later, but the way I've explained it to clients sometimes is like, okay, so our personal space bubble, our auric field is around us and we're moving through the world, and throughout the day, almost like static cling. You remember those old commercials with like the socks that stick to the pants and the dryer? It's almost like your auric field can have some static cling and you're basically picking up other people's dirty socks or emotions or energy all day as you go through your world. It's just your auric field's becoming aware of information. You're moving through the space. And some of it will lightly stay with us throughout the day. The client I'm thinking of in particular is like a school guidance counselor. And she talks to me sometimes about how it's very tough because she's trying to maintain her energy at a certain level, but dealing with not only, you know, the people that she cares for, the students that she cares for and works with, but also staff, also office politics, also paperwork, also. And so it's like she's collecting all these dirty socks all day as she moves through these different scenarios and interactions in her world. So put a pin in that dirty sock image. We're going to come back to it when we talk about aura clearing in a little bit. We cannot talk about auras or the auric field without talking about color. So one of the most common questions that I get asked about the aura is what colors are in the aura or what color is my aura? So the colors that are in the auric field or in the aura are some of the usual suspects, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, also brown, black, white, gold, and silver. There are no negative colors. Let me say it twice for the people in the back. There are no negative colors. So even if you have black or gray or brown in your auric field, it's not negative. All the colors mean different things. They correspond with emotions, with energy, with qualities, with information. The color is like a language of its own that shares information, but there are no negative colors. So I just like to take away as much of the fear as possible whenever I can. So the next question people usually have is, so what's my auric color? What color is my aura? And I'm here to tell you, it's all of them, all the time, in different shades, different proportions, different combinations. And the colors can even be used by your loved ones on the other side to understand you, to empathize with you, and also to communicate about themselves or about you. Color, like I said, is a language all of its own. And you have all the colors all the time. So if someone reads your auric field, for example, and says, oh, your aura is very blue, it might just mean that that color is rising primarily to the top or to their awareness in that moment. It doesn't mean that you don't have all the colors at all times. Because like we talked about, even with just those seven main layers of the aura, if the aura is expressing everything about you, basically, from your organs and cells and physical body all the way to your past, your present, your feelings, your spirituality, your connection, it needs all those colors at all times in all areas. They just can be in varying degrees, and the colors themselves can be, the way we say it, is in the positive or in the challenge. So for example, if someone is in a relationship in their life and they're having the primary challenge in the relationship in this moment is like communication, I might see that blue for communication as looking a little bit muddy. It doesn't mean it's negative or bad. It's just showing me, oh, there's a little bit of a challenge here. It's not like the bright, clear blue. So all of the colors all of the time are in your auric field and different combinations to show different things because that's how your aura moves. So therefore, again, the colors act as a language and provide information. So what type of information do the colors of your aura provide? As a little side note, this is some of what and how I'm perceiving during a psychic reading. So we all read a little differently and our faculties all work a little differently. But part of what I'm reading when I'm psychically reading, my soul, my aura is blending with the aura of my sitter, my recipient, and I'm becoming aware of the language of the colors and energy that their soul is emitting in that moment, in that layer. And typically I'm being drawn to what they need to hear about in this session, not always what they want to hear about, but what the greatest need is in that moment. And again, the aura can be everything from you know, a challenge that you had as a kid or a tough experience or emotions you're having right now or the relationships in your life or things you're thinking about, right? Things you're ruminating on, things your soul is nudging you to do next, your next steps, right? Your potentials, meaning like if you have some potential spiritual gifts, those are in your auric field. The core qualities of who you are, those are in your auric field. The potentials of what your soul wants to express as, right? Some people's souls, most of you know by now, I used to be an actor. So my soul wanted to express in that way in this lifetime, not so much as a singer. Part of me would have loved to have been a singer, but it's not one of the core qualities of my soul in this lifetime. And so therefore, I don't express as a singer. And we don't have to worry about a lot of these things most of the time. I just think it's fascinating to know that's what's in there. The blueprint for your lifetime is in there, meaning you have all of your information with you. It's why we're always talking about going within and getting your own answers and not relying on trying to get, you know, a voice from the sky or someone else to tell you what's right for you. Yes, we all need guidance and support and assistance from outside of ourselves at times, but truly all of the information about you is in your auric field. It even will house things about your physical life, how many kids you have, what your relationship status is, how you're feeling about all of that, what type of house you live in, the work that you do in a day-to-day basis, how you feel about that work, how that work affects you in a greater emotional or spiritual capacity. There really is almost no limit to the information that is contained in the auric field. Now, does that mean that I'm becoming consciously aware of all of that information about you in that moment? No. And neither is anybody else. It's its own system, right? And it's your system, your auric field, sharing information out into the world and with other souls and receiving and discerning information from other souls. But most of the time, we don't become aware of any of it on a conscious level. But have you ever had an experience where all of the sudden you just knew something about someone and you didn't know why you knew it? Maybe you knew they got in an argument yesterday. Maybe you knew that they have a tummy ache. Maybe you knew that they're pregnant and they haven't told anybody. You're blending your auric field in with theirs in just a casual conversation or just a communication. And sometimes if you're open enough, it feels like the awareness of it's just popping into your head, but it's really being communicated through the auric field. So that is some of what can be known through your aura. So I want to talk a little bit about how the aura is perceived. Notice I didn't say quote unquote seen. I think because there are colors in the auric field and because we've seen through media or maybe you've been to a fair where people are doing like aura photography or that kind of thing, I think we feel like, oh, some people can see auras, which is true. Some people can perceive them with their physical eyes. But more often than that, it's through those subtle sensing, the additional perception, the sixth senses. So that's like the clairvoyance, the claircognizance, the clairsentience. We're sensing, right? So that is mostly how the auric field is perceived. And like I said, if I'm psychically reading, my auric field is gently blending in with their auric field, with the emanation of their soul and understanding information. Same as when I'm communicating in a mediumistic way, the soul of the person on the other side, which also has an auric field, it's their soul is emanating, right? Is shining out. Their soul's auric field is blending with my soul's auric field, and I'm receiving, perceiving information from them. So that's often how it's perceived. Now, I will tell you, auric photography, it's fun. It depends on the reader. I don't think it's as deep as we wish it was, just those like quick aura photography things, but I do think that there's a level of validity to it. So I'm not trying to throw shade or discount any of that. I just think it's a fun thing to do. I think there's some information that we can have from it, but I think where the challenge is when someone does like an aura photograph at like a fair or a festival or something, and then they say, oh, my aura is purple. Well, it could be a little misleading because that's the color that's being picked up in that moment, but it doesn't mean that's the only color you have or that's all that's going on. And if you did it an hour later, chances are it would look different if it was actually working, or like the next day or a week later. So auric photography, to a degree, I'll say that. Now, for me personally, the way I perceive auras is, you know, like I said, we're all a little different. So there's no standard for every psychic or medium. There's no, this is the way it always 100% is for everybody across the board. I think we're learning more and more as time goes on. Everything exists on a spectrum when we're all a little bit different. So for me, if you've ever heard me tell my story of like, if go back to the beginning of this podcast, the WWE diva to psychic medium episode, I share a little bit about how I was seeing auras and experiencing colors from a very young age. So I was in Catholic school when I was little, and I can remember being, I would have had to be under third grade. So first, second, or third grade. We kind of did the same mass thing the whole time. So I couldn't quite tell you which year, but I'm pretty sure it's all of them. When someone, the priest, was giving a talk or reading from the front of the church, the pulpit, I could see a bubble around him, like an aura, a hazy aura. I don't have another word for it, of color. And I would see the colors changing. I would see them moving, almost a little bit like a very light lava lamp, like a cloud around them, but very translucent, not opaque like a desk or a table or a blackboard, but very like a fog, like a gentle fog around them, usually in the shape of a bubble or all the way around them. And I could see with my physical eyes colors. Now, that has been with me in a very light way my whole life. So anytime someone is giving like an inspirational speech or a very heartfelt talk, or I've even seen it with authors reading like a powerful excerpt of their book, for example. I've seen it with if I'm in a mentorship course, for example, and even if I'm on Zoom or on like an internet call and the person has like a fairly flat colored background, meaning like not a really busy background, if it's pretty flat colored and pretty light colored, I can physically with my actual eyes often see some light colors moving around them. Even in my office, we have light gray walls, kind of like a tannish gray. And if I have a client in the office and I'm intending to, not always, but often, I can see colors moving around their physical body in their auric field. Now, I'm not perceiving every color, every detail that's in there. It's just what I'm feeling, sensing, and visually, physically seeing in that moment. But I don't need to rely on my physical eyes because most of the information comes through, like I said, those sixth senses, that group, the sensing, the clairsentience. So that is essentially how I do it. And I can still physically see auras with my physical eyes, but the discernment is really mostly through the sensing. So I want to talk again about the dirty socks thing. Do you need to clear or clean your auric field? And if so, how do you do that? Like we talked about, we're kind of going through our day all the time, really just perceiving or sharing, emitting, and receiving information through our auric field. Some of it comes to us in like a mental capacity, like we know things or we know information, and some of it just goes to our subconscious or unconscious, and some of it we just let go of completely. But in that example that I gave of the guidance counselor, she really was feeling energetically drained or like she was picking up people's dirty socks and they were sticking to her all day long. So really, your auric field is a self-clearing or self-cleaning system to some degree. However, you can also clear or cleanse your own aura. There is a little bit of a difference between doing like a self-clearing or receiving healing or clearing. Those of you that have ever been to any of my spirit circle, my monthly free community offering, which is often a group healing session, you know one of the things I'm doing in your field is clearing your aura. There is, like I said, a bit of a difference between doing your own aura clearing or having someone else do it for you. The best example or like analogy I could give is like a hairdresser. So you can do it by yourself, like a blow dry or maybe even a little quick trim, but it's a whole different experience to have someone else do it for you from their expertise and perspective. So think about, you know, that compared to clearing or cleansing your own aura. Yeah, you could do your own shampoo and blow dry, but if a hairdresser is doing it and then going to, you know, cut or color or do something or style your hair, it's totally different than you doing it by yourself. It's not to say that you couldn't always do it by yourself, but it's just a different level to have someone else do it for you. And the other thing to remember, which I'm sure you can resonate with, is we often can't see our own blind spots. So it's why I still work with healers for myself or have healers work with me, and why I still love giving and receiving healing, because we just, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And sometimes we're so close to something that we really can't see what needs to be moved or what needs to be cleared. But your system will do it entirely by itself. So I don't want anyone stressing or panicking and thinking, oh no, I'm not clearing or cleaning my aura. It's fine. It'll do it by itself. Most people experience it like when you wake up, and you wake up fresh, we usually say. It happens overnight. It happens if you go for a walk in nature, or if you feel like sitting outside, your system will clear itself. You can do grounding. That will clear your auric field. There are a couple of other ways you can do it. We're going to talk about it in a minute here. I'll give you a couple easy tools. You know, I love teaching tools, but that's essentially the difference. You don't have to do it. You could do it. It feels good to do it. You might notice a difference in your mood, in your energy, in your clarity. And if you're someone who wants to develop or is developing as a psychic or a medium or a healer in any capacity, I would suggest learning how to do it. Just because you're spending so much time in other people's auric field, it's nice to just clear and clean and have it fresh in there. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. I will teach you how to clear your own aura. But before we do that, I want to touch quickly into, since we're talking about clearing, we should also mention protection here. Do you need to protect your aura? This might be a little bit of a hot take, controversial take, but as I see it, no, you don't need to protect your aura. If you wanted to, in a special circumstance, like say you're going into a meeting with someone that you feel is particularly like aggressive or combative, you could, for example, imagine your aura, your personal space bubble, becoming like a mirror. Like think of Silver Surfer, how it just is this like silver mirrored bubble. And it's just kind of like a whatever energy you're emitting to me, you know, kind of bounces off me and goes elsewhere. So you could imagine being, you know, your bubble being like a mirror, just mirrored out, not taking anything in. But really, it's more about continuing with your own personal growth, your own personal development, than needing to like, quote unquote, protect or safeguard your aura. Your aura works with you and it works for you. It's divine. It's not as fragile as pop culture might have you believe. It's this beautiful, incredibly divinely ordered system that we have that is intended to perceive, share, receive, determine, understand, all of those words, information for you. So it's working for you. I think the little clearing and resetting techniques are probably much more helpful than worrying about protection. But, you know, if you've ever been to, if you've ever like, the thing that's popping into my mind is like, do you know how some people don't love going to like family gatherings? I mean, right now as I'm recording this, it's springtime, so we're far from holidays. But, you know, just this idea of like a family gathering. If you went to a family gathering and you just kind of felt ick afterwards, just clear your energy. You don't need to like protect necessarily. So in just a second here, we're going to talk about quick do-it-yourself options for clearing your own energy. I'm really excited to share these with you. These are my personal go-tos. I use them all the time. And I want to share three with you. I'm going to share the three easiest. And then I also want to share a few tips with you for how to start playing with your aura, if you're into that, for those of you that want to take it maybe like one step further. So three quick and easy kind of DIY, do-it-yourself options for clearing or cleansing your aura are as follows. Option one, I know on this podcast, we have worked with a few different archangels. If you like Archangel Raphael, he's wonderful for this. Archangel Metatron, we've talked about before here, he's wonderful. Archangel Haniel is wonderful. A lot of people love Archangel Michael. If you don't know any archangels or are not familiar, you can just call on an angel in general. I believe in my work that we all have at least two personal guardian angels. You don't have to believe in angels to do this one. And if you don't like it, hang on for two more. But let me just tell you about this one real quick. So essentially, you would just call in an angel, any angel of your choosing. Like I said, an archangel, or you can even just say, my personal guardian angel, please come close to me now. And just imagine them next to you, but slightly higher than you, showering you with just fresh, beautiful, pure white light. And you can close your eyes for this if you want. You might feel or sense it a little bit more. And remember, subtle sensing. It's not going to be like someone touching you. But just let that white light rain over you, like actual rain, but with energy. And just imagine anything that doesn't belong to you being rinsed out and falling into the earth. She can use it as fertilizer to make beautiful flowers and wonderful things. So just imagine that raining down over you, that angelic white light sprinkling over you, rinsing down your auric field, releasing anything that's not yours or not serving you to the earth, and then just letting that white light fill you all the way up. Just get a sense for when you're done. You could set a timer and do it for 2 or 3 minutes or 10 minutes if you like, however long you like. There's no right or wrong answer here. You could even do this like at your desk or in your parked car, for example. No one has to know that you're doing it. And just until you sense that you have kind of been all the way washed out and filled with that beautiful white light in your personal space bubble. Option two for a quick DIY of clearing, cleansing your own auric field. You can do an energetic rose. If you've ever been with me on any of the, like I said, Spirit Circle community free monthly healing sessions, you might have learned this tool before. If you want to see it in action, you can go to my website, joyfulmedium.com, in the blog section and look for those recordings of the previous healings and find it there. Or I'm going to explain it to you right now. Essentially, I like to do all of these with eyes closed. You don't have to, but I feel like kind of closing out more of our physical world helps to allow us to sense a little bit more sometimes, but you don't have to. So with this energetic rose technique, you're just going to imagine a big, I like my rose to be white, but yours could be any color you like, a big white fluffy rose out in front of you. It could be anywhere from the size of a basketball to the size of a hula hoop, just depending what you like, and you can play with different sizes and see how you feel. And just imagine that rose being magnetic. And with each breath, imagine as you exhale, that rose magnetically collecting anything from your auric field that doesn't belong to you, that's not serving you, that's not yours. You don't even have to judge it as good or bad, just not yours, doesn't belong to you. Dirty socks, right? And you could even visualize dirty socks kind of peeling or flying off of you, gently floating into this rose. And I usually say till you feel done. So it might be 2 or 3 minutes. It could be up to 10 minutes. These are kind of delicious little personal meditations that if you do have a 10 or 15 minute break, it feels really nice to do them a little bit longer. So I would play with doing them a little bit longer when you have time, but it's okay to just do a quick 90 second version of it if that's what you have. So letting that rose fill all the way up till you feel like it's done, imagining it shooting up into the sky, 1,000 feet in the air, exploding like fireworks, dissolving into nothing. And then just imagine allowing your bubble to fill in with, I like gold light, but you could choose any color that you like, rich, warm gold light filling into your bubble, swirling all around you. And our personal space bubble is, I always perceive it as like an egg. So you're just like in this giant egg of your own energy about, I don't know, 3 to 5 feet around you on all sides. But remember, your aura is always in motion. So it expands out as you move through spaces. It comes closer to you as you need. So that energetic rose, remember to fill in, particularly gold is just a beautiful, nice, warm, nurturing color for everyone. There's no one that can't accept gold light. So once you feel like you've filled all the way in, take some nice relaxing breaths as you're doing it and That one's done. And our third quick do-it-yourself option for auric cleansing or clearing is sound. So this one's not really as meditative. You could do it with sound bowls if you have like either the Tibetan brass sound bowls, or I have a beautiful bowl that was gifted to me that's quartz crystal. It's white, but it's crystal. You could ding the bowl. You can swirl around and let the vibration of the sound wash over your auric field and your physical body. Sound is a really powerful tuning and healing modality. If you don't have a sound bowl, you can use the Google or any place that you get music or sound from. So like all the platforms that you get music from have usually some sort of like sound bowl meditation music. So just do a little search, see what you like. I wouldn't use a tone or a sound that you don't like. Use something that sounds nice to you, that feels pleasing to you. It probably is letting you know that's the one you need. There are lots of different tones. There's no right or wrong, but you're just essentially taking a few minutes and letting it wash over you, wash through your auric field, and just setting that intention that you're receiving these tones to clear and balance your auric field. Again, as long as you like. There are some of these that I've experienced myself on like iTunes or Spotify that last for like an hour or more. I've seen some on YouTube that are like several hours. That's a long time. So unless you're really wanting to do like a deep, long meditation, you could just stop the music whenever you want. So you could set a little timer for yourself in your phone, a few minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, however long you have, but a couple minutes will do ya. Let that sound wash over you. Remember setting the intention that that's what you're listening for, is for your aura to be cleared and balanced or cleansed. And then when you are done, just let yourself be done, filling in again with those beautiful tones as well. Now, for those of you that are a little more advanced or just feeling a little bit more adventurous and want to play, I'm going to give you a few quick tips to start playing with your aura. I'm going to give you three of these as well. Don't feel pressured. And if you guys want, let me know if you want to do like an expanded version of this. I can do an episode that's a little bit more focused on just the clearing or just the playing with, but I also teach this. So if you've taken any courses with me, or if I'm ever offering like a free mini course or even like a paid extended course, you're probably going to learn all this. And we do some of it on like the free community offerings that I have. So those are in the events section of my website. So this first do-it-yourself playing with your aura would be to first get like, close your eyes, not right now if you're driving, but if you're somewhere safe to do so or when, just kind of close your eyes, get a sense of your auric field. You can even just imagine that egg of energy all around you, that emission from within, your soul within, emitting on all sides of you, front, back, above, below, left, right, on all sides equally, in this egg of your energy, and just start to imagine to fill in your bubble with different colors. So I would do one at a time. So like we talked about doing gold, you could do gold first and really just take a few moments. This is probably if you have a little bit more time to play, because this is, you're wanting to sense it. You're not wanting to just do a quick like clean out, like wash out. You're really wanting to feel and play, or sense, I should say. Feel sounds strong to me. And a lot of times when I say feel, people think they're actually going to like physically feel something. It's more of sensing than feeling. So fill in with that gold. Let it swirl all around you. Let it go below your feet, above your head, all the way behind your heart. And once you feel, you know, spend a few minutes with that gold, and then just imagine letting it all drain out, and then pick a different color, maybe blue. And you can even pick the tone or shade of blue. Maybe you want to do a dark blue or an aquamarine blue or a very pale blue. And just imagine letting that start to filter in or flush in or pour into your space. And again, same thing, all the way below your feet, behind your heart, above your head. And I would take a few minutes with each color that you're going to play with. And you can do as many as you like, but each color has its own very subtle difference in feeling. So that's number one. Number two for playing with your own aura or starting to sense your own aura is play with contracting and expanding your aura. So just like we were talking about, often your aura is about an arm's distance on all sides of you, but sometimes it can come in really tight or it can expand and fill the whole room. So that's where to start playing. Get a sense of where it is right now, or just intend for it to be about an arm's distance on all sides of you, and feel or sense what it feels like at an arm's distance. And then imagine drawing it in. Just with your intention is enough. You don't need to like try really hard. And intend for your auric field to come really close to you on all sides, like almost like maybe just a foot away from you on all sides, all around. And take a few breaths and let that happen. Really take your time with these. I'm going through them fast, but take your time to let yourself really get a sense of it. And once you get a sense of that, you can bring it back to neutral, back to an arm's distance all around, and then do an expansion. So let it expand. You could first start expanding it to like 6 feet and then 10 feet and then to fill the whole car or room or wherever you are. And remember to reset it to about an arm's distance. Nothing will happen if you forget. It's fine. Because like I said, your aura is moving and shifting, expanding, contracting all day. But we don't often feel or focus on the expansion and contraction. So you can do that a little more intentionally to get a sense of it. And number three is one of my personal favorites. Play with these, filling in with color and the expansion contraction around pets or kids. With kids, like don't tell them you're doing it, but just do it and just start to see how they react as you're expanding to like fill your auric field into the whole room. Pets are particularly reactive to this. Sometimes they'll come closer to you. Sometimes they'll just like twist their head and look at you funny. Sometimes they'll go in a different room. It doesn't mean anything good or bad. It just means that they're aware of it. So it's kind of validating to do it, especially with pets or like small kids. Because they usually are a little bit reactive or notice a change or something different and will kind of look at you or gesture or move closer or further away. So it's kind of fun because there's a little bit of extra like validation with that. But yeah, playing with either of those two around pets or kids, they don't even have to be your pets or your kids. You're not doing anything harmful. Again, pets and kids also have their own auric fields. Their own souls are emanating out from their physical bodies. They have chakras. They have organs. So all of us are rolling around in our aura all the time anyway. It's just kids and pets tend to be a little more sensitive. You know, kids sometimes consciously and sometimes unconsciously sensitive to those subtle energies around them. So that is what I have to tell you about your auric field today. Again, it's an overview, even though it's a deep dive overview. I could, like I said, talk about the auric field for weeks on end, it seems like. But hopefully you have learned a lot in this episode. Maybe it's made you even more curious. It's definitely given you some ways to start clearing and cleansing and playing with your own aura and experiencing your own aura. But I'm so curious to know your experience. Have you had it where you've been in line and someone's come too close and you've looked behind you and you're like, oh my gosh, this person's so close. I just felt like someone was, well, they're in your auric field. Have you had that experience? Have you had the experience of like, you know, someone sitting too close to you and it feeling uncomfortable and you weren't sure why? What experiences have you had with your aura that you didn't even know was your aura? Or how do you want to start playing with it now? I'd love to know your experience. And I hope you'll join me for one of my Spirit Circle monthly free community offerings. I love doing healing. I love working in the auric field. And sometimes I'm also doing group readings, which I also love. I hope this has been fun and uplifting and easy, and hope you learned something. Big hugs, lots of love. Bye for now from inside Spirit Speakeasy.